What do you do when your world falls apart? Now, those of you with the printouts on this, I'm going to read that first page for our listening group so that they will understand where we're coming from on the study. The focus is, when your world falls apart, what do you do? Well, and you've heard me say many times that if you will look in the scripture, you will find your personality somewhere with all the prophets, and you'll find your problems. You'll find your trouble that you're dealing with in so many different ways. And you'll have that personality that you can look at and say, now I understand why. Jeremiah classified it as the weeping prophet. He wept because, I'll remind you all of this, for 26 or 28 years of his ministry as a prophet of God, his whole cry was to Israel to come back to the Lord. And in that 26 to 28 years of preaching, he did not have one convert. So he's classified as the weeping prophet simply, again, because that he focused on the devastation of his nation, and he saw what evil had overtaken his people and his love for them. And yet his cry or his call within his heart was so great that you will hear him in the book of Lamentations, a short book. You will hear him in his book, named after him, of Jeremiah. But you will hear him crying out on behalf of God's nation. Now, remember, Christ in his coming, he cried out for his nation. He stopped, remember, on that last week of his human life. Jesus stopped and he cried out again. He wept for the nation that refused to turn to him. Jeremiah was an Old Testament prophet in Israel. During his lifetime, now listen to these. During his lifetime, he saw his nation decimated. The nation went into an economic crisis, terrorized by a foreign enemy. Incredible inhumanities, sufferings, and no work. It's sort of like reading a newspaper sometimes, isn't it? His people were literally, and they were starving to death. Not just for food, but for a word from God. Here's one thing we need to remember, that God will send us that heavenly food, but we have to receive that food. Jesus came to save us and to pay the sin debt that we owe, but we have to receive him. We have to accept his and accept his gift from God the Father. Gosh, folks, God the Father gave his Son as a gift to us for eternal life. And can you imagine, again, I always look at and think of the church that's gone on and all the heavenly host looking at each other, of all the angels, got to be worried about the human race because of all the love that was poured out, and we continue to this day to reject love, peace. Well, the Christians are classified almost as terrorists, especially the Baptists, almost as terrorists. And the Baptists are, in some situations, classified that way at the same level. But why? It's because that we stand strong in that Christ is the answer, Christ is the way. Therefore, we will not bend on the scripture. When the scripture says, thus saith the Lord thy God, you better pay attention to thus saith the Lord thy God and not try to bend his word. And when you say, no, Jesus is the only way, that does not make you popular in the world today. is during this time, Jeremiah wrote the two books. First one was the book of Jeremiah, as I mentioned, and then the short book of Lamentations. I wanted to give you a definition here. The term lamentation is an unused old English word that means to complain. Okay. When we unload our sins on God, that's called confessing. When we unload our complaints on God, that's called lamenting. Now you see the difference there. We're going to look at Lamentations 3 and focus on six steps that Jeremiah took to rebuild his broken world. Let me tell you, folks, you and I have to make certain that our inner world, our inner relationships, we have to make sure that these brokenness in our relationships and all with the Lord, or in our relationship with Christians, that we have to understand that if we don't rebuild the relationship from within, you will never rebuild the relationship with the church, with the Christians. If we don't have an awakening within our own lives, people are calling for revival. Revival is sent by the power of the Holy Spirit. Revival is not called by man. A revival is sent from God to man. It is when the heart and minds of God's people... See, revival means people say, well, get a revival and let's get a bunch of people saved. The revival focuses on Christians. Now, we have over the years pushed for it in revivals of people got saved. Yes, they do. Wonder why? Would you not think that the salvations come because as Christians are revived in their relationship with Christ and the prayer goes up for the lost, that the lost will come? And the revival of the church, is it needed today? Not only is it needed today, it is rejected today by many churches. Let's get this straight. When the Christian family, the body of Christ, the church body, each separate church group, when the body of Christ listens to the Holy Spirit and the word comes from the Holy Spirit and you start seeing the different members saying, we just need an awakening ourselves, or I need an awakening, preacher. See, there's a big difference in this. You can tell when a church is ready for revival is when the church quits telling the pastor he needs to get revived, and the church says as a whole, we all need to be revived. You remember the days of the of the revivals that last week after week, yes. And according, and people would say, are you still in revival? And the answer would be, as long as the Holy Spirit is present, we'll continue in revival. That's what the Great Awakening was, a universal church revival. Are we looking for a Great Awakening today? I am. Because I really believe that God, you know, he lets us go so far, and then the conviction comes. You have gotten to the point, church, to where not only do you see the evil, you've allowed the evil to come in to my house. And when we get under that kind of conviction, it will be the Great Awakening again. But it happens with individual Christians. And as each individual Christian has the awakening, then we unite together in prayer. And now you've got a little handful that's getting ready for the awakening. And as it continues, then it leads into a revival within the church. I'm sure I told you all, the first revival I ever preached, and I was frightened, because when I was asked at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Etown, almost 40 years ago now, I went in that revival, total prayer, because every time I said, Lord, I don't even know what I'm doing. They asked me to do a revival, and I said yes. Why did I say yes? Because I thought that's what I was supposed to say, is yes.
And I was told it was a very good
revival. That revival, there were in the 30s, 32 or 33 people accepted Christ that week. It was an awesome revival. And what made it awesome was the Holy Spirit. And a preacher that was scared to death. I've always been afraid of saying, misleading somebody from the pulpit. Not quoting scripture exactly the right way. I learned a great lesson during that revival. And that is this. Great revivals come through the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ, as the Trinity of God, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, when they show up to church, as I've said, I've always pictured the lost person. I said it'd be the greatest walk you've ever taken. I picture God at one end, Jesus at the other end, and the Holy Spirit in the middle. Satan is already gone. Satan is wise enough. He's not going to try to mess with that young Christian-to-be. Had you all ever thought that maybe that when we came under conviction, that during that time and the time that you come under conviction to the time it comes out of your mouth, I don't care if it's 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks, that you look back now and know you were saved at that split second, that you said, I realize I'm a sinner, Lord. But as a young person, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And then we find in the churches, nobody knows what to say. That's why I've always been comfortable doing weddings and funerals, because nobody knows how they're supposed to be done anyway. And you can't mess up something like that if nobody knows how to do it. The Holy Spirit, when He shows up, the revival will begin. And that revival will begin without it being called by the pastor. 6 steps to rebuilding our broken world. Jeremiah's lamentation against God. Remember, Lamentations deals with complaining. None of you have ever complained, right? None of us. I gotta remember this. Me and Randy both have a hard time with this. I always have to be inclusive when I'm talking and saying, you all, have you ever had any? All of us are in the same boat in all of this. Okay. Step number one, unload all your frustration on God. But Lord, why will I do that when I have a wife to do it to? Or I have a husband to unload on? Why would I take a chance of getting you angry with me? Listen to Lamentations 3:1-10. I am a man who has seen affliction by the rod of His wrath. He's talking about God. And Jeremiah, again, he's so sincere, and he's hurting so bad. He's lamenting and these complaints going to God. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. He has turned His hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin grow old and broken my bones. He has surrounded me with bitterness and hardships. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Now, this is a man who wants to be sincere in his complaints with God. And God is allowing us to see this now in his holy word to remind us that through our walk so often we feel the same way with as Jeremiah did. We look at our life and say, Lord, I've tried to do right. I'm trying to get it right. I'm trying to do the things that I know will please you, but I don't. And then when I pray for help, I don't get it. Well, Jeremiah was a human and just like us. Therefore, what he is saying is, I don't understand why God doesn't straighten the nation of Israel out. I just don't understand why you don't, Father. You called me to preach. You've called me as your prophet to tell them and warn them. And so, Lord, I tell them and warn them. But then you're not backing me up, God. So Jeremiah, from the human standpoint, was hurting on the inside to the point that he was just unloading on God. But you got to pay attention to, they are respectfully unloading on God, the prophets did. And he's saying, why is it this way? Why is every opportunity to do what you've called me to do, why is there something that is always in my way? Folks, if there wasn't something in our way, would we grow? Too easy? Yes. And when the Lord really showed us about salvation, he showed us the focus of hurt and pain by using his own son. And then the people now look at the Christian and say, you people are Christian just because it's so easy. I remember some friends that would talk about, these Catholic boys, you know, they go out and just do anything they want, and all they got to do is go confess to the priest, and they get by with anything they want to do. I said, yeah, and us Baptist boys, all we do is go out and do wrong, and we don't confess to anybody, because once saved, always saved. You see, that brings to our mind of the rebellion of the human race against the love of God. I want to love you. I'm going to give you my son. I'm going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about where you're going to eat. I'll see to it that you have the food. You don't need a king because your God will take care of you. No, we want to be like every other nation. Therefore, give us a king. And we've had them over the years. But folks, there is no hope without Christ. But God wants to hear our frustration. You're not, when you're complaining, when Jeremiah is saying this, he's saying it in a way, can I get an answer, Lord? You know, it's sort of like the preachers that say, can I have a witness? Jeremiah saying, Lord, here's my hurt. Now what do I do? And step number two, turn your focus from your pain to God's love. Oh, Lord, why do I have to do this again? You know, the Christians are such whiners and sissies. You'd think we're all in the Navy. I mean, they're just whining and carrying on. And you'd think, it was just a little jab. But what we need to think of is we talk about our pain. Lord, I'm hurting right now. Really, Larry? Have you noticed the people I've called you to? And have you noticed that how many of them really are in pain? How many of them are really, really hurting? We never, it doesn't matter how many times we think we've had it the worst, we always see somebody that's worse off, don't we? And especially in this nation, we've been blessed so much. But turn your focus from your pain to God's love. What's that doing? That's getting us away from self. We are selfish creatures. Look at our children. 1, 2 years old, they'll punch each other out for a cookie, won't they? They'll take it, and then they'll lie about taking it. And then they'll cram it in their mouth before you can get to it to give it back to the other kid. I mean, that's the human existence, folks. We see that in our life so often of, yeah, but I don't want to go through the pain. Really? You don't want to go through the pain. Do you know that you and I will never, never feel the pain of death? We will never see a victory of a grave over us. Now, in the dying process, we will think, okay, Lord, I know it's time, but maybe I ought to stay a little longer. There will be a point when you realize, Lord, your word was correct, because you will see the glory of God as you leave the body that is dying. And, you know, it's sort of like Elvis has left the building. Gene and whoops, I'm gonna go. Randy Kidder and Marion, we have left the building.
Did you forget my name?
Yep. No, I didn't forget your name. I thought, why am I picking on Gene about leaving the building? There. But that, you see, that's our focus. We're just simply transferred by God away from the pain. Lamentations 3:19-26. The thought of my pain, oh, listen to him, and my homelessness, hey, the prophet of God was homeless. Do we remember the Son of God saying that the birds have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head? So was God the Father just picking on Jeremiah? Everything that was done was for our benefit, so we can grow in our trust in God. Pain and my homelessness is bitter poison. I think of it constantly, and my spirit is depressed. Yet, hope returns when I remember this one thing. The Lord's unfailing love and mercy still continue, fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunrise. The Lord is all I have, so in Him I put my hope. We say the world has overshadowed us. The pain is too great. And the Lord says, let me revive you and remind you. I love you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Your pain and the troubles of the day are nothing compared to what I have waiting for you from the good side of your existence. Again, remember, we only exist in this body for a short period. We spend eternity in our new body with the Lord. And forever and ever is a pretty good trade-off for the pain and brokenness and all that we see in these bodies today, huh? Lamentations 3:31-33. The Lord is merciful and will not reject us forever. How many times have you wondered, okay, how long are we going to watch our nation suffer? Why is our nation suffering? Because of sin, the sin of the people. and the sin of the people from the standpoint of me, me, me. And as long as the sin of the people continue to focus on the a narcissistic personality, the me, me, me focus, then the Lord is going to continue to allow the pain. For what? To bring us back to Him. If we don't have any pain, I wonder how many people would even pray. I wonder how many more would even say, well, there's no need in praying. Because you've been around the people that says, you know, I knew we were had this person in prayer and we prayed and prayed and prayed and they died. And an individual says, I knew they was going to anyway. So, and you think, why in the world were you praying? Don't get those kind of praying for you. That's not what you want. He may bring us sorrow, but His love for us is sure and strong. He takes no pleasure in causing us grief or pain. In our life, when we look at the pain and we look at a lot of the battles that we have fought, and we think back on those battles and we say, why has God done this to me? God has never attempted, and do not say when you're tempted, this is James, do not say when you're tempted of God, because God tempts no one to sin. But you sin when you're carried away of your own lust and enticed. So therefore, the brokenness in our life, God did not bring, we did. So as we look to Him, Jeremiah says, I know. His love for us is sure and strong. And then he whines a little more. Just the way that we do also. Well, Lord, do I have to be sick this long? You know, I read the stories, Lord, in your book, the Bible. And I saw you raise the dead. And I saw you also put words in the mouth of a donkey. Randy, when I looked at you, it just came to me. I'm sorry. But, you know, it was just there. And the Lord says that He takes no pleasure in causing grief or pain. Now, how does God cause grief or pain? He causes the grief or pain in our life when we back away. You see, where the cause of God is separated from us, meaning we choose to go away, to back off, then the pain we enter in is payday. It is from our sin. So therefore, in that way, God allows the pain. In some of the translations, you'll see it. This is today's English version, and where it says, He takes no pleasure in causing us grief or pain. Gosh, I wish they had another version there to look at. But anyway, it's a focus of you and I know the word. And when we turn away from the love of Christ and the promises, then we have grief or pain. Well, how does He cause it? Because He doesn't eliminate it in the earthly body. So therefore, we will see, because we're in the human body, then we're going to have the pain.
There's some Lamentations 3:31.
Yes.
You want the NIV version?
Either one. Read the NIV. Let me see what it said.
For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though He brings grief, He will show compassion, so great in His unfailing love. For He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got the universal... the universal love of God, or the word of God. Whatsoever you sow, that shall ye also reap. It's the law of God. And the focus is, I don't take pleasure in your hurting, but I told you not to do it. How many times you told your kid, don't do that, you're going to fall, you're going to break an arm. Don't climb up in the tree. What do kids do? They climb the tree. And they fall out of the tree. Yes. And then the parents act like they never disobeyed their parents. So the kid also learns to lie. Oh, son, I would never do anything like that when I was a kid. Okay, step number three. We need to get along with God and wait. Hear it again. We're trying to rebuild our broken world. Our broken world within and the broken world without. Do we not see this world crumbling? Do we not witness anger and hatred and unspeakable vileness within this generation? Can you imagine the decapitation of all these Christians? Yeah. Bunch were pitched Nero to the lions and burnt, set on fire as they were driven through town for everyone to see. Are you saying it's that bad? We're living in a generation where the unborn child is not counted as human. Yes, full cruelty. How many parents, did you all see the baby in a stroller? Did you all see that on TV the other night? This guy was driving by, and he thought he saw a stroller, and he looked back and stopped and went back, and there was a stroller with a baby in it and no adult around. And so he called the local police, and they came and found out. They said that the mother had had a medical emergency and nobody knew the baby was there. But many times they will do it on purpose, folks. One of our big department stores that all of you all love to go get the bucks and go back and get stuff for $20. And then you saw it blocked off there for a while because of a baby found in the bathroom there. That's what's going on. Yeah. And we have a broken society. And will the good one day take over? The good already is in charge. That's not the question. Will the good survive? The good's the only thing that will survive. The question is, will we accept the word of God? Will we accept what God tells us about our existence? And will we stand for his son? If you stand for Christ, I guarantee you he'll move the mountains. You don't have to wait to move them. Here it is, Lamentations 3:28-29. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself. Enter the silence. Enter the silence. Okay, what is the silence? For some people, that's exactly what it is. For other people, the silence is, let's say they lived in quiet times all the time. Then their silence may be something completely different. The silence focuses on that nothing is interfering with how you listen to God. And I know that I'm odd in that when I turn the music up so loud that everybody wants to leave church and all of this. And right, Miss Debbie? Yeah. And I am sitting or studying and writing and all of this. Enter the silence. Bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Wait for a hope to appear. That's the message. I thought that really was a great way of saying it. Wait for hope to appear. You cannot pray down hope, for hope's already here. You know, I hear people saying, "Let's, if you pray long enough, you can get saved." Folks, if you're not under conviction by the Holy Spirit, you can do all the praying you want. You won't be saved. Conviction by the Holy Spirit is when God says, "I'm real," and you feel him and you know it. Now, that's the conviction. And that's the conviction of, I'm offering you hope. I'm giving you ultimate love. What's your choice? And often, we don't say it, but we choose the world. Right? Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to everyone who trusts in him. So it is best for us to wait in patience, to wait for him to save us. Remember that were we not told, and folks, I'm going to preach on this next Sunday. I just realized that. And it's a focus of that our relationship with Christ and our walk with Christ should be the compelling focus that the world sees within us as individual Christians and as a church, to where they come and say, why are you happy when you know this disease is killing you? What's the joy, and where did it come from? What has that just done? It opened the door for you to tell them about Jesus. The compelling focus is not in what we say. The compelling focus is what we don't say, is our expressions of love, our expressions of strength by helping someone that didn't ask you for it. Do you know that that's a sermon? You want to preach a sermon? Help someone that you know needs help. And don't let them know that you're helping them. Now that's a message. Well, if I don't let them know that I, as a Christian, are helping them, how's that going to help them become a Christian? Well, it's not about you. It's about the Holy Spirit. Right? Okay. Step 4. Change the things you can change. But Lord, we haven't got to those because we're too busy trying to change the things we can't change, and we know it. Change the things you can change. Lamentation 3:40. Let us examine our ways. It did not say examine each other's ways, right? Okay. Our ways. And test them. And let us return to the Lord. If our ways, if the world's ways we see are leading away from Christ, do we not understand then that we don't have any business following those ways? We know that. Christians get together and they decide to do things without focusing on Christ doing it through us, then we've noticed that the ways we're getting ready to do things are not the ways of Christ out of love. We're doing them just to say that we've done them. See, there's got to be love in what we do. We have the purpose of life through the love of Jesus. So therefore, we need that love. We need a little love in our heart, people. And I don't care how you say it. Step 5, ask God to relieve your fears. The greatest feeling of peace anyone will ever have is at that very point when they know salvation is real and that Jesus loves them. And we will strive, once you have that salvation experience, we keep saying, I want it again, I want it again. I want to get back to where I had the feeling. Well, what are we talking about? The Lord's love for us has never changed. Did he not say that he'll never leave us nor forsake us? So why have our feelings changed? Lamentations 3:53-57. My enemies threw me into a pit. I'm telling you, folks, Jeremiah had a hard ministry. I could picture today. Can you picture today pastors, preachers? putting up with life and all the hurt, and then they say, well, no. I had one preacher tell me one time that he's leaving the ministry. He said, my wife cannot handle the ministry any longer. And I knew my wife before I knew Christ. What, he needed to be out. My enemies threw me into a pit and dropped stones on me. The water flowed above my head, and I cried out, this is the end. But I called on your name, Lord, from deep within the well. Oh, do you remember the belly of the great fish? And Jonah crying out, I cried out from the midst of hell, and you heard my voice. And you heard me deep within the well, and you heard me. You listened to my pleading. You heard my weeping. Yes, you came at my despairing cry and told me, do not fear. Now, that's a revelation, folks. Jeremiah said, Lord, you've told me not to fear. But what was Jeremiah's problem? His fear for his nation. He hurt because he loved his nation. He loved the people God called him to minister to. And folks, it is that important that pastors must love the congregation. The pastor must love the people. I did not understand that. I can tell you that. I did not understand that until just the past few years of understanding the strength that is in that, is that we're family and we need to have that family love. Step number 6, you must expect Jesus to restore your life. And not one of these, you know, I prayed to be restored, but I knew he wasn't going to do it type of thing. You must expect. When I accepted Christ, wasn't it as important that when I accepted Christ, I accepted that he rewards those who accept him? For I must believe he is who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder to those who are righteous or wanting to do what is right. Lamentation 5:21. Restore us, O Lord, and bring us back to you again. Give us back the joys we once had. Or give us back the joy of your salvation, Lord. The salvation in me is God's salvation.